This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Happy holidays, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, and deadites. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon commentary track for Lee Harry's quote-unquote sequel to Silent Night, Deadly Night, aptly titled Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. So how do you unwrap the full track? Become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
Welcome to Halloweenies, a horror franchise podcast. I'm Wolfman Mac, one of your co-hosts this evening, and this is another episode of The Isle, where you, the Halloweenies, get to join us on the sofa and watch along as we provide commentary on one of your favorite films. That's right, we know tonight's film is someone's favorite. So, as we deck the halls and trim the trees this holiday season, it's time to come together as a family. It's time to pack in the car and go on that vacation we've been itching to go on. Maybe we see someone on the side of the road who's having car trouble. Maybe that's someone's Santa Claus. And maybe, just maybe, he pulls a gun out and blows a couple of us away. But not all of us. Not all of us. Because someone has to survive to ultimately come back years later to go on a killer Santa killing spree. And then finally, one of us who also survived said attack would then need to recount the entire thing again in a sequel cleverly titled Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. That's right, folks. It's garbage day. And speaking of garbage, I'm not alone here for tonight's episode. We're going to start on the south side of Chicago. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us the first time you saw this film? And were you ever frightened of Santa?
This is Mike, all new, just like Boogeyman 2, Vanderbilt, coming to you from the south side of Chicago. And was I ever scared of Santa? That motherfucker better be scared of me. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. We have one more co-host who very much like Santa is... No, wait, now hold on. When was the first time you saw this film?
When I saw Silent Night, Deadly Night, the first one, it was the first time I saw Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2. You know, I didn't, these were both ones, I think, and I know I discussed it on the commentary episode for Silent Night, Deadly Night, that I saw a little bit later because the idea of a killer Santa was always a little too transgressive for me when I was a kid. Like, I didn't want to spoil it for me. Freddy was fine, Jason was fine, but, you know, I guess I agreed with Mickey Rooney that maybe it was a bridge too far.
Oh, well.
So I bought I got the DVD set. I finally wanted to see it, and I watched the first one with my sister on Christmas night, like in the early 2000s.
Like you do. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was celebrating the season. And then I now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know when I actually sat down for part two, because I knew that it was mostly flashbacks to the original. So I just never really had much of a desire to see it. And I think I was late to the garbage day meme.
Yeah, that's funny. I was talking to Justin today, and he said that that was one of the first YouTube clips he had ever seen. That the garbage day clip was one of the first clips he had ever seen. And I got to say, I came to that clip very late in life, probably in season 3 of this pod or something. I was not familiar. I was familiar with the trope of Silent Night, Deadly Night, but I think I always attributed it to that episode of Tales from the Crypt. When I started watching this film, okay, I'm going to cut in here. Sorry, Dan. When I first started watching this film, I hadn't seen the first one. And many people said, don't watch the first one because you're just going to watch it again in the second one for the first 45 minutes. It was kind of interesting watching like the truncated version, but yeah, all I could think of was I've never seen any of this. All I kept thinking of was what I thought Silent Night, Deadly Night was was that episode of Tales from the Crypt. So this was all really brand new to me coming in. Santa Claus for me, I don't know if I was scared of him in all forms. I think I was definitely scared of him when we went to go, you know, sit on his lap and take a picture with him, because it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, but when you're a kid and you grow up watching something on TV and you see it in real life, it's like Mickey Mouse. Like Mickey Mouse is huge when you see him in real life. He's scary. He's giant. And I felt the same way with Santa. That, or I was just had social anxiety and just didn't want to wait in a long line.
Or maybe you were just so intelligent to know that you should not be at the mall sitting on a grown man's
lap. They're talking about, you know, on one hand they're saying stranger danger, and the next, you know, they're letting me wait in the line by myself to sit on some strange man's lap. Well, we're gonna get into that and more, but we have another co-host. Introduce yourself and tell us about the first time you saw this film, if you have, and were you afraid of Mr. Claus?
This is Dan Kringle Caffrey. I have never seen this movie, so I don't really have a punny name, although, like y'all have said already, I've probably seen a lot of this movie because I've seen the first movie.
70% of it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm always happy to talk with you guys and hang out with you guys. I'm like admittedly not that excited to watch the movie because it's just going to be,
you know, it is fascinating, Dan. It's not a boring watch. I genuinely, having not watched anything, I genuinely was like, this is crazy.
Once again, all of our Patreon subscribers, thank you for that hard-earned cash. We are very excited.
Oh, man.
Do we know who requested this, or do we have to get that info, get that data later?
No, we requested it.
Fuckers. No, yeah, so I have not sat down and watched this movie. I remember when Garbage Day became a memeable clip. It wasn't one of the first YouTube clips I saw, but I saw it before I knew what it was from. And then someone told me, and I was almost kind of surprised because from what I remember, the Garbage Day clip doesn't look very Christmassy. It's very LA looking. It's very sunny outside.
Well, it's a very Shane Black kind of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're dead right, Dan. It really is just out of place.
And the other thing, I remember my brother-in-law Mike, who listens to our show quite a bit, he's the one who showed me the clip, and then he later on told me what it was from and explained the conceit of the movie in that it was made from a lot of recycled footage. I remember I just looked up the opening monologue and it was so bizarre. I think it's the opening. Isn't he in like a jail cell talking to the camera?
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
So I remember I watched that and I was just like, I don't know if I could get through this whole movie. And then that was the last of it. I'm excited to be here with you. I think it's under 90 minutes. I've seen the Garbage Day clip so much because when I lived in Austin, I went to the Alamo as my theater. They would always play that before, you know, it was like that. Don't talk, you'll get shot. Actually, a constant listener. Sorry, I'm confusing our king.
Bleeding over. How dare you?
I know. A trick or treater who listens, but I think he's also a constant listener too. The gentleman who edits all those bumpers at the Draft House, which is quite impressive because I actually love the Alamo's marketing. We get it kind of at the Nighthawk up in Brooklyn, which I also like the Nighthawk, but it's ripping off the Alamo quite a bit, if I am being honest.
Okay. We said no plugs of theaters and or family members, and you've done both already.
We're looking forward to the Christmas. Alamo Theater coming to Wrigleyville.
It's Christmas
in January here in Chicago.
Oh, is there an Alamo coming to Wrigleyville?
It's coming.
I
still love the Alamo. I know it's become kind of corporate, but I really do like going there. It's a good experience. And as far as if I was ever afraid of Santa, not him as a figure specifically. I always loved the Santa myth. I remember being really sad when I started to realize
that it was your pop.
If you believe, I guess it's both my parents. But no, I remember on the playground being 9 years old, and that's when kids started to kind of whisper about it. I remember being like, no, that's not true, and really trying to convince myself. And this day, I wish he was really good.
To this day,
he is real. The spirit of him is real. So I wasn't afraid of him as a figure or anything. I was always quite taken by the Santa myth. However, when my grandparents lived in Burlington, New Jersey, which is this very historic town that gets very Christmassy during the holidays, and they have a big Christmas parade, I remember I was staying with them, and then I we went to watch the Christmas parade, which of course ended with Santa coming by in a sleigh. And I remember Santa pointed at me like to get me up on the sleigh. And I just kind of looked away and I still did it. People are going to be shocked by this. As a little kid, I was pretty shy. I didn't really become extroverted till later, I guess. But I went up there with him and...
Was it like Springsteen?
That's exactly what I was thinking of. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Santa Claus is coming. When they did Santa Claus is Coming to Town, did Clarence Clemens dress up as Santa? Am I making that up? Did he come out with a beard?
Santa come in like the sleigh and everything like overhead on a wire, I think.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I'm sorry. He flew in on reindeer.
And that recording that you hear, I believe, is the first live performance of their recording of that them covering that song.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. Cool. I love that recording.
'70s.
It feels real genuine and fun and warm.
I wonder if I have to watch the video if there's video. I wonder if Santa was played by that guy Terry, who was like a roadie who passed away, and he wrote that song Terry song. He was like
fairly positive. There's a video of it.
Yeah. It probably was him. He was pretty a big dude and had a white beard and everything. But anyway, so I got invited up on the sleigh by Santa.
Santa dancing in the white shirt and the tight jeans,
pointing at like 6 year old me, like, oh my god,
it's Dan Cafferty now, but like on a child's body.
With Courtney Cox's hair, though,
like just not looking, like not looking up, just looking kind of really shy.
We've got to AI. We've got to AI this.
So he, so he pointed at me, and I went up there, and the way it's, I remember being up there and being really happy and thinking it was cool. But the way it's told to me, everyone says I was just looking dead ahead, like really, really awkward. And so, of course, it came out later that Santa was played by my grandfather in the town. So it was my grandfather dressed up as Santa, which I didn't realize because he was with us at the parade, you know, 30 minutes before that. I'm sure
Really fooled you.
Easy to fool a 6 year old. Right. And so he's since passed away. And so I look back on that. What I'm saying is I was kind of scared in that moment. But once I was on the sleigh, I thought it was really cool. And once I found out it was Obi later on, that's what we called my grandfather, Obi. It was a very sentimental, wonderful kind of memory. Not afraid of Santa. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Will you say Cookie Claus?
I said Obi Claus.
Obi Claus. Yeah. Obi-Wan.
Cookie Claus.
Cookie. But but it's funny. You know what? There are several movies where I do get creeped out by Santa. I think about City of Lost Children, that opening nightmare with have you guys seen City of Lost Children?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been a
where
while.
Santa goes in the house and the kid sees the reindeer shitting. That really freaks me out. Christmas Evil, the Santa really freaks me out in that film. I think there are movies where they make him really scary, but I've never been scared of him in real life.
All right. Well, Dan's a champion. Dan's a man among men.
Real brave. But hey, maybe I'll be scared after this. I don't know. We'll see.
He might be scared for different reasons.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.